भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ मीन्स टू बिकम अवेयर ऑफ this material nature appears to be real, like we see things, we can touch things, we can taste things. This way we can see that this is existing, but this is not the only reality. Beyond this material reality there is another real, that is the spiritual. The material nature is there. It is there. We are here and we are experiencing. It is real. But it is not real. The real reality is the spiritual. This is the reflected reality. This is a reflection. This is not absolute. So the goal of human life is to understand the real reality and go back to that. Like a reflection is temporary. As a reflection is existing, it is real. But it's real only as a reflection. Then after some time, the reflection will go. Like there is some pool of water. After monsoon, after it rains, some water gets logged in. And in that water we see the reflection of the tree. But then, in course of time, the water dries. Then, can we see the reflection of the tree? Similarly, this material nature is a reflection. On the material ingredient called mahatva. And when the mahatva disappears, when dries out or withdrawn, then the material. But the spiritual reality is always. Just like we can say that we have this material body, as long as the spirit soul is in the material body, then we experience the material. When the spirit soul leaves the material body, what happens? Does it exist for us? Or when we are awake, we experience this nature. When you fall asleep, do we know whether this nature is existing? But the spiritual reality is everlasting and eternal. So our business is to become situated in the spiritual. And that is why whatever we are doing is to become situated in that spiritual. Why do we worship the deity? Why do we try to develop a relationship with the deity? Why we are doing so many things? Why are you chanting Hare Krishna? Why are we practicing devotional service? Why are we singing prayers? Why are we doing all that? Is it because we are devotees of ISKCON and that is the practice of ISKCON, that's what we are doing? No. We are doing it to become situated in the spiritual. That reality is there, although we cannot see it. Why can't we see that reality? Because we don't have the proper vision. Our vision is being projected through our senses. Our consciousness is being projected through our senses. Therefore, we only see what our senses can perceive. An example can be given. The light is being projected through a red glass. And the light is projected through the red glass. What will the light be like? The light will appear to be red. Why? Because it's being projected through the red glass. Similarly, our consciousness is being projected through our senses. And as a result of that, we are experiencing only what our senses can. And what are our senses perceiving? Our senses are material, therefore our senses are perceiving only things that are material. Our senses do not have the ability to perceive that is non-material. So we do not have the ability to perceive the spiritual reality, that's why we are not aware of the spirit. But we are practicing to spiritualize us. Okay, with material senses, we can perceive only that. But to perceive spiritual reality, what do we need? We need spiritual senses. With the senses of this body, we can only perceive. But with our spiritual senses, we can perceive the spiritual reality. So what we are practicing is simply to spiritualize our senses. And how the senses can be spiritualized? It is simply like this. When the senses are projected towards the matter, it simply becomes material. But when the senses are subjected to or projected to Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Personality, then our senses will be spiritual. Therefore, devotional service has been described as Rishikena, Rishikesha, Shevana. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all senses, who is the Lord of all senses. Rishika, Rishik means the senses, and Isha means the Lord. When the Lord of the senses is worshipped by the senses, that's called devotion. So what we are practicing? We are practicing devotion. And what is devotional service? Devotional service is to serve the Lord of the senses with us. We have senses. Now, what is the benefit when we serve the Lord of the senses with our senses? Then what will happen? Then the senses will become spiritual. So that is what we are practicing here. We are trying to serve the Lord of the senses with our senses. And by serving the Lord of the senses with our senses will become spiritual. Then we will be able to perceive the spiritual. Because then our senses will become spiritualized, our senses will become purified. Our senses are originally spiritual. All our senses are spiritual. But because of this mistake of projecting our consciousness through the material body, our senses have become material. Our senses are actually spiritual. Our body is actually spiritual. But because we are identifying this material body to be our body, we are thinking this material body to be yourself, and the perception of this material body to be the perception of us. So that is why spiritual life is a constant reminder and constant engagement to the spiritual reality. That is the reason why we worship the deity. Who are you worshipping? Who are you serving? Are you serving somebody material? No. We are serving the spiritual supreme personality whose form is Satchitananda. It is spiritual. By serving that supreme spiritual personality, the supreme personality of Godhead, our senses will become purified, our consciousness will become. So that is what we are practicing. So today is the appearance day of Srila Advaita. Who is Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. Who is Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu is the Supreme Personality of God. And by understanding who Advaita Acharya is, we make a step forward towards the spiritual. Who is Advaita Acharya? Is Advaita Acharya an ordinary human being? No. Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality. Therefore, we are trying to cultivate our relationship with Advaita. That's why we are trying to understand who is Advaita. That's why you are offering prayers to Advaita. That's why you are discussing about Advaita Acharya today on this particular day of Maghi Shaktam. This is the month of Magh. And the seventh day of the month of Magh, Shukla Paksha, is the day of Advaita. He appeared. He was not born. What is the difference between birth and appearance? What is the difference between birth and appearance? Like, for example, Leela Purushottam has come from London. So we say that Leela Purushottam has come here in Ujjain. That means Leela Purushottam was already existed. But some years ago, Leela Purushottam was born. Leela Purushottam, did you all greet Leela Purushottam? He's coming here for the third time? Third time. He spent considerable amount of time here for everybody. So what is the difference between Leela Purushottam's birth and Leela Purushottam's coming from London to Ujjain? What's the difference? When he was born, he came. He was not here before. He came. But when he comes to Ujjain, he was already there in London. And then he came. Isn't it, Leela Purushottam? You agree with me? Okay. Similarly, the difference between the appearance of the Lord and birth of an ordinary. The Lord is not born. Krishna is not born. He appeared. But we are born in the spiritual. But Krishna appears means Krishna is there in the spiritual. and then he comes. So Advaita Acharya, who is Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, Jagatkarta, Mayaya Jagatpada, Tasyavatara Evam Evayam Advaita Acharya Ishya. And Mahavishnu is the incarnation of Krishna for creating this material, who is also known as Karana Dakshina. There are three Vishnu incarnations. What are those three Vishnu incarnations? Karana Dakshina Vishnu or Mahavishnu, then Garbha Dakshina Vishnu, then Kshira Dakshina. Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean, therefore he is known as Karana Dakshina, one who is lying in the Karana Udaka. And then as he breathes, from his breathing, innumerable bubbles come out in the causal ocean, and each of those bubbles is an universe. Then he enters into each universe as Garbha Dakshina. Then in that universe there are many, many living entities, and in the heart of these living entities he enters as Kshira Dakshina. So this Mahavishnu, who is the Jagat Karta, Mahavishnu, Jagat Karta means the creator of the cosmic world. Jagat, what is the Jagat? What is Jagat means? The material. This material nature is not just one universe. This material nature is the sum total of all universe. That is our problem. Our problem is, we simply think that whatever we perceive, that is the reality. But when you become exposed to the spiritual wisdom, then you get to know what is what. Just like the modern day people, they think that Earth planet is the only thing. Earth planet is the only place where there is life. And all the other things, all the other stars and planets, they are all empty. They vague. They think that the Earth is the center and everything else is the, everything else is the, is subsidiary to the Earth. Although scientifically they accept that Sun planet is a part of the Sun. I'm sorry, Earth planet is a part of the Sun. What is the modern understanding or concept? A part of Sun becomes separated from Sun. Why they don't consider? So when it was separated, it was just a piece, right? And then those pieces broken, that piece got broken. And different planets appeared. And the middle one, it was shaped like a mridang, right? And the middle part of the mridanga is swollen. So the middle planet is bigger and other planets are smaller. And then they started to move around the Sun. That is their understanding of the planet, the creation of the planet. So even then, they can see that if the sun planet, the sun is the origin of earth planet, but still they think that earth planet is the only place where there is life. Jai Shri Shiva. Jai Shri Shiva. Jai Shri Shiva. Jai Shri Shiva. And that is called perceiving everything centered around our own person. We put our, that is the material nature. We put ourselves in the center. I am the center. Whatever I see, only that exists. If I don't see something, it doesn't. Is it an intelligent thing to do? Is it intelligent to think that way? Only what I see that is real, anything beyond that, that I do not see, doesn't exist. Like, if an ant thinks, let's consider, an ant thinks that whatever I see that is real, anything that I do not see, doesn't exist. And a man looks at the ant, how will he think? Look at this ant. A tiny little creature, and he thinks that he is the center of everything. So we human beings are also like tiny little ants compared to the demigods. Demigods are so powerful that compared to them, we are even more insignificant than them. And now human beings are. I am whatever I see, that is what is real. Anything that I do not see doesn't. Actually, if we can analyze, we can see. Like, we do not see something. Switch off the light. Anything we can notice, like, we can see. How much can we see? What is the range of our seeing? We see only between violet and red. Light has innumerable range, an inconceivable range, light. But we see only between violet and red. Ultraviolet is beyond our senses. Infrared, what is below red and what is beyond violet, we do. Now should we say that only that what we see that exists, things that we do not see, we do not believe. Similarly, sound, what do we hear? We simply hear the sonic portion of the sound. There is supersonic and subsonic. We do not hear. Like you have seen an owl, it moves around at night. Why is that? Because the owl sees only things at night. Which means what we cannot see, an owl can. At night we cannot see because it is dark for us, but it is light for us. Owl. And what we see, the owl cannot see. So in this way, you have to accept that there are many things that we do not see, although they are around us. They are around us, but we do not see. Therefore, the first thing that one intelligent man must recognize is that there are many things that I do not see, but they exist. Therefore, better not to believe only in my senses. Let us not depend only upon senses. Rather, let us gather information from higher authority. Like, let us consider an ant. A man is educating the ant. But don't think that your ant hill is the entire creation. Beyond the ant hill, there is a city called Ujjain. And Ujjain is a part of Madhya Pradesh. Madhya Pradesh is part of India. India is a part of Asian continent. And Asia is a part of the Earth planet. Earth planet is the part of the solar system. Solar system is a part of the universe. And there are so many universes. And beyond the universe, there is a causal ocean. What will happen to the ant? Won't the ant become white? And you know, although I do not see all that, although I do not see, there is a city called Ujjain, but Ujjain is existing. Why? No? Because Maharaj is telling that it exists. So this is the intelligent way of receiving knowledge. The intelligent way of receiving knowledge is to receive it from the higher authority, higher source. And who is the highest source of authority? Who is the highest authority? Who is the highest source of information? Krishna. And Krishna gave these information to Brahma. Therefore, the most intelligent class of people will accept the information from the Vedic scriptures, which was originally given by Krishna. And that is the beginning of receiving information about spiritual reality. Things that we cannot see with our eyes, if we want to have information about those realities, then we must depend upon proper source. So for our source is Shruti or the Veda. Our source of information is Shruti or Veda. Why it is called Shruti? Because it can be received only by hearing. If somebody says, okay, I must see the Veda, I must verify the Vedic information, the answer will be no, you can't. You can't, because you don't have the faculty. You don't have the ability. You may want to see the Veda, with the information of the Veda. You may want to verify the information that have been given in the Veda, but in order to receive those information, or in order to perceive that, you have to have proper facility, proper ability. And it is not saying that you can never get that ability. It is there, information is given. Yes. The ability is there. You can develop the ability. The way to do it is by developing your spiritual senses. How to develop the spiritual senses? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Shiva. When you engage your senses in serving Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, your senses will become purified and you will be able to perceive the spiritual. You will be able. But the way to do it is through the process of devotion. So that is the scientific method. And there is only one sense that can perceive that reality. What is that? Hearing. These informations can be received only through. Not by any other. Therefore, that reality, the spiritual reality, is called adhokshaya, adhokshaya, beyond our senses. Our senses, our material senses will not be able to reach that. The only way we can reach that reality is by hearing. Only way we can receive or perceive that reality is by hearing. And that hearing, what should we, how should we hear? We must hear with Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. With faith we have to. That is coming from the Veda. We must use with faith. But it's coming from Prabhupada. Therefore we must accept. Because Prabhupada is an authority. Prabhupada had no reason to lie. There was no reason for Prabhupada to say something that is not real. That's not true. We have seen Srila Prabhupada, such an exceptionally brilliant person. And whatever Srila Prabhupada said is the truth and nothing but that. Nowadays we are seeing that some people are questioning, some people are doubting, even ISKCON. They are doubting Srila Prabhupada. They are saying, oh, Prabhupada made so many mistakes. The result is, they are losing out. It's Maya. It's actually Maya's cook. Maya is telling, oh, Prabhupada was not really that great a person. Look, Prabhupada said so many things wrong. And as a result of that, their faith is destroyed. And as a result of that, they are not able to receive the vast ocean of information, spiritual reality that Srila Prabhupada has given. Therefore, the intelligent class of people will have absolute faith in Srila Prabhupada. One may say, Prabhupada is an ordinary person. Then immediately let us consider, did anyone ever achieve something that Srila Prabhupada did? Show me one man who has achieved something like Srila Prabhupada. In 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada, in simple words you can say, in 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada conquered the world. How long did it take Napoleon to conquer Europe? Not even the whole of it. How long did it take Alexander to conquer whatever part of the world he did, and what effort he did, and they glorified as a great person, Alexander the Great, Napoleon Bonaparte, William the Conqueror. Even compared to that, look at Prabhupada's achievement. They conquered only some part of the world. But Srila Prabhupada conquered the entire earth. Didn't leave any continent behind. He went to America, conquered it. Then he went to Europe, conquered it. Then he came to India, Asia, conquered it. Then he went to Australia, conquered it. So what's left? Then he went to Africa, conquered it. And also Alexander, when he was leaving, he conquered one country, and when he left, he lost. But Srila Prabhupada's domain is increasing, even though Prabhupada has left. And what is that conquering? That is a spiritual conquest. Prabhupada was not conquering with sword and guns and rockets and missiles. Srila Prabhupada is conquering this world with spiritual. Alexander, Napoleon, they conquered the land. And what is Srila Prabhupada conquering? Srila Prabhupada is conquering the hearts of the living beings. Now what is more important? Just piece of inert land or the living entity? It is more important, the most important consideration is to conquer the living. And as a result of this conquest, what is happening? They are benefiting. These people are becoming eligible to go back to the spiritual. So, Srila Prabhupada actually gave a wonderful gift to this world in the form of Srila Prabhupada has made arrangement for us to receive the spiritual knowledge, the Shruti, through hearing. That's why we have to have faith in Prabhupada. What Srila Prabhupada said is the truth and nothing else. And by receiving that, what is happening? We are benefiting ourselves. And as far as accepting or believing in Srila Prabhupada gave, having faith in Srila Prabhupada's word, let us consider one thing. With wisdom, you may start with knowledge, you may start with faith, but then it becomes very experimentally very. Say for example, when you learn alphabet, A, B, did you accept it with faith? Krita Yuga? You accept it with faith? A is A, B is B. Right. Who taught you alphabet? Your teacher. So did you question the teacher? Why is he saying A is A? Maybe this is why. Did you question? No. You accepted A is A. Your teacher said this is A. And you said A. This is B, you said B, right? And then you learn to write A, B, C, D. And then when you grew up and then you started to read books, wasn't it proven that A is A and B is B? So that is the thing with knowledge. As you progress, what you learned before becomes established. So similarly, in spiritual knowledge, as we are advancing, although in the beginning we may have started with faith, that Prabhupada said that that's where you must accept. We accepted with faith, but in course of time it is becoming very. And another way to verify is with our intelligence. With our intelligence we can verify. An example of verifying it with intelligence is something like a person, a philosopher, was an atheist. And he had a scientist friend who was a theist, who used to believe. So, the philosopher friend, philosopher and the scientist used to have lot of arguments. The philosopher used to say God doesn't exist and the scientist used to say no. But they used to have arguments. Then one day the philosopher friend came to the scientist's laboratory and he saw the solar system, the model of a solar system. So the philosopher, atheist, hey, who made this? The scientist said, no one made it. Then philosopher said, how is it possible? Somebody must have made it. The scientist said, no, nobody made it. He said, how is it possible? Somebody must have made it. Then finally the scientist said, look, when I show you the model and say nobody made it, you don't believe. Which is only just a replica of the solar system. And when I show the solar system, and tell you somebody must have made it, you say, no, nobody. See what a fool you are. So with our intelligence, we can understand. Like, did somebody make this watch? How many of you are wearing a watch? So the watch that you're wearing, did somebody make it? Priyavrata? If someone came and told you, the watch, nobody made it. It just fell from a big bang. What will you say? You say, you're crazy. So now we can't accept a simple thing like a watch came out of nothing. But when it comes to such a complex creation of the universe, nobody. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madanmohan Ki. Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki. Shri Shri Gaurangai Ki. Shri Lakshmi Muni Ki. So, this is how, with our intelligence, we can understand there must be a creator behind this creation. Make sense, Navadvip? Does it make sense? There must be a creator behind this creation. Right. So, who will believe, who will accept the theory of accident? Creation came out of accident. They don't accept that. Scientists don't accept. They say Big Bang. And they leave it up to them. Or they say primordial soup. That is, there is actually the, I forgot the name of a philosopher, American philosopher. He actually made this point that to say that creation came out of an accident is like saying that there was an explosion in a printing press and the types fell in such an order that the Webster dictionary was printed. If there was an explosion in a printing press has the types with which they print. Those days. Now everything is printed in computer. So, the types fell in such an order that Webster dictionary was. Anyway, it is only the foolish people who will say that creation came out. So in this way we can see that there must be, through our intelligence we can perceive the spiritual. The cause behind creation. So today is Srila Advaita Acharya's appearance. Why are we celebrating Advaita Acharya's appearance day? Because this way we can understand, we get a chance to recognize who Advaita Acharya is. And by recognizing who Advaita Acharya is, we get a glimpse of the spiritual. So, who is Advaita Acharya? It has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving the description of who is Advaita Acharya. महाविष्णुर् जगत्कर्ता मायया जस्विजत्तद तस्सावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य महाविष्णु प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी महाविष्णु जगत्कर्ता मायया यः सृजत्य अधः सृजत्तदः तस्यावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य ईश्वरः महाविष्णुर्जगत्कर्ता मायया च सृजत्तदः तस्यावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य ईश्वरः महाविष्णुर्जगत्कर्ता मायया च सृजत्तदः तस्यावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य ईश्वरः Verses on the board today, because these two verses are in Chaitanya Charitamrita describing Advaita Acharya's bhakti. Who is Advaita? So the first verse has been recited by the boys, the second verse will be recited by the girls. Okay, so I'll just go through the translation. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the action of Maya. So who is Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is an incarnation, is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. And who is Mahavishnu? Jagatkarta. Whose main function is to create the cosmic world, Maya, through the action of Maya. So next verse, text 13. Advaitam Harinadvaita Harinadvaita Acharyam Bhakti Sanshana Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaitacharyam Ashray Advaitam Harinadvaita Acharyam Bhakti Sanshana Bhaktavataram Ishantam Advaitacharyam Ashray Advaitam Harinadvaita Acharyam Bhakti Shamsana Bhaktavataram Ishantam Advaitacharyam Ashray Because he is non-different from Hari. Harina Advaita. Advaita means non-different. From being non-different. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Bhaktavataram. Ishamtam. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Advaitacharyam. So why he is called Advaita? Acharya? Okay, who knows? Who can answer?
Yeah.
Priyavrata? Yeah, because he is non-different from Hari, he is known as Advaita. And why he is called Acharya? Archana? Because he is propagating bhakti cult. Therefore, he is Acharya. He is non-different from Hari and he is propagating bhakti. Therefore, he is Advaita Acharya. And he is non-different from, he is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, Bhaktavataram, Ishantam. Therefore, Advaita Charjam Ashraye. I take shelter of Advaita. So these two verses are very important to understand. If we understand these two verses, we understand who is Advaita Acharya. Is Advaita Acharya an ordinary Brahmin? He was
quite a
nice, great personality. Is that the thing that we are worshipping Advaita Acharya? No, Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu Jagatkarta Mayaya Jashri Gattada. Who is Mahavishnu? He is the Jagatkarta, the Lord of the entire cosmic manifestation. And he, Mayaya Jashri Gattada, he creates this material nature, Jagat, through the agency of Maya. Mahavishnu Jagatkarta Mayaya jashrijattada tasavatara evayam Advaita Acharya tasya avatara. He is his incarnation. Eva ayam. So certainly this personality is non-different from Mahavishnu, who is the creator of the cosmic manifestation. So, who is Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, who creates this material cosmic manifestation through the action. And then, why he is called Advaita Acharya? Advaitam Harinadvaitad Acharyam Bhakti Sanshanat Bhaktavataram Ishantam Advaita Acharya. So today is Advaita Acharya's appearance. When did Advaita Acharya appear? Advaita Acharya appeared in 1434. On this day. This day, what is this day? Today is the Shukla Saptami Tithi in the month of Magh. So Magh is the month of winter. In India, there are six seasons, right? Vaishakh, Jaishtha, Ashar, Shravan, Bhadra, Ashin, Kartik, Abhrayan, Khosh, Magh, Falgun, Chaitra. 12 months, Vaishakh and Jaishtha is summer. Ashar and Shravan is monsoon. Bhadra and Ashin is Sharad. Grishya, Varsha, Sharad. and Kartik and Agrayan, Hemanta, and Paush and Magh, winter, sheep, and Phalgun and Chaitra, Vasant. So Paush and Magh, especially Magh, is a very, very cold season. In Bengal there is a saying that Bengal Mr. Vinda, what is the saying? She was just about to say. In the month of Magh, it becomes so cold that even the tigers run. So it's a winter season, and this winter season of month of Magh, the Shukla Saptami, 7th day of the Shukla Paksha, Advaita Acharya appeared in the year 1434, according to English calculation. Bengali, Indian calculation is 1355, Vikram Sambhat, 1355. Why this Vikram Sambhat is actually from Ujjain. Vikramaditya drove the Shakas out of India. Therefore that year is marked as the Shaka or Vikram, the year of Vikram. So from this, so we can understand when the Advaita Acharya appeared in 1434. When did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear? Who remembers? 1486. So how old was Advaita Acharya when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared? 52 years. He was quite old actually. But he accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a supreme. He didn't think, oh, he was just born the other day. I am older than him, therefore I am greater than him. So, Advaita Acharya appeared in a place near Srihatta. Srihatta is a place in which is in Bangladesh now. It's near the Assam side, in the eastern part of Bangladesh, not too far from Assam. It's also kind of mountainous region, in a place called Navagram. And he appeared as the son of Kuver Pandit, or Kuver Mishra. So Kuver Pandit was a very exalted Brahmana. It has been described that he was actually an incarnation of Kuvera, the king of the Yakshas. Kuvera is the stepbrother of Ravana. And Kuvera is in charge of the wealth of the demigods. He is the treasurer. All the wealth, the treasure of the demigods are in Kuvera's custody. Or in simple words we can say, when the demigods need something, they go to Kuvera. Hey Kuvera, I want 3 trillion dollars in demigods calculation. And Kuvera says, okay, he writes down and it's granted. So Kuvera, who is Kuvera's son? Who are Kuber's sons? Nala Kuber and Manu. So Kuber is a very exalted demigod. So that Kuber appeared as Kuber Pandit. And it has been described as Gaur Ganesh Deepika, actually. Let me see. Yeah. Oh yeah. Mahadevasya Mitranja Kuvera Guiha Kesharaha Kuvera Pandita Swadha Janako Vasva Vidyambara. Vidyambara Guiha Keshar Kuvera, who is a friend of Lord Shiva Mahadev. Now he has appeared as Kuvera Pandit. And he has become the father of Mahadev Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya is an incarnation also of Sadashiva. He has been described as the incarnation of Mahavishnu as well as an incarnation of Sadashiva. So this calculation is that Lord Shiva appeared as the son of his friend Kuvera. It has been described in Bhakti Ratnakar, Bangodeshi Srihatta Nikat Navagram, Kuber Pandit Tatha Nrishingha Santan, Kuber Pandit Bhakti Pathe Mahadhanya, Krishna Pada Padma Vina Najanaya Anna, Toishetar Potni Nabha Devi Poti Vrata, Jagoter Putya Teho Advaita. In Bengal, near Srihatta, which is known as also Silet, in colloquial it is called Silet, but actually it is Srihatta. There is a place called Navagram, and Kuber Pandit, the son of Nrisimha, used to live there. Kuber Pandit was very well known for his devotion. He did not know anything besides Krishna's lotus feet. He was so surrendered to Krishna that besides Krishna's lotus feet, he did not know anything. And his wife is Navadevi, who was very chaste. She was worshipable for the whole universe, whole material manifestation. And she was the mother. So Advaitacharya appeared as the son of Kuber Pandit and Navadevi. Advaitacharya lived on the planet for 125 years. And Advaitacharya is an incarnation of the Lord. He is a Vishnu Tattva. So Vishnu Tattvas, when they appear, generally their Shakti also come. What are the Shaktis of Vishnu or Krishna? Is Shri, Bhu and Neela. Shri Devi, Bhu Devi and Neela. Shri Devi is on the left hand side, Bhu Devi is on the right hand side, and Neela is the Dham. These are the three Shaktis. Therefore, it is seen that sometimes these Vishnu Tattvas, they have two wives. Like, say Krishna has Radharani and Chandra. Radharani on one side and Chandra. Vasudev Krishna has two principal wives, Rukmini and Satyabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He had also had Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu. Nityananda Prabhu had two wives, Janava Devi and Vasudhara. Similarly, Advaita Acharya also had two wives, Sita Devi and Sri Devi. So he, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Advaitacharya became, when Advaitacharya's father, Kuber Pandit, left the planet, Advaitacharya went to Gaya to perform his shraddha, pinda. And at that time, Advaitacharya left and traveled to different places, and eventually Advaitacharya settled down in Shantipur. And Advaitacharya also had his another residence in Navadvip near the house of Sri Srivasa. In Mayapur, we have Srivasangan, and near Srivasangan is Advaita Bhavan and Gadadhar. So, when Madhavendra Puri went to collect sandalwood and camphor from Orissa, you remember why Madhavendra Puri was, why he did he go to collect sandalwood? How and who knows? Okay, Raghav Pandit. Huh? Yeah, Gopalji told him, look, I'm feeling very hot here. Summer is very hot. Can you get me some sandalwood and camphor and put it on my body to make me, to cool me now, to make me feel cool. So Madhavendra Puri, they went to Orissa, to Puri, to collect sandalwood and camphor. So on his way to Puri, he stopped in Shantipur and he met with Advaitacharya. Or rather, Advaitacharya then met him. And Advaitacharya, although he is Vishnu Tattva, but in order to set a proper example, he took initiation from Madhava. So, Advaitacharya was displaying his role as a devotee. And it is actually Sri Advaitacharya who brought Krishna to this planet. When Advaitacharya saw that he was a great devotee, and when a devotee sees that the people are becoming atheistic, how does a devotee feel? Devotee feels very concerned that people are becoming atheistic. How to save the situation? People are becoming so atheist. And Advaitacharya considered that only Krishna can save this situation. Therefore, he decided to bring Krishna down. And Advaitacharya considered that if the Lord is worshipped with Tulasi Manjari and Ganga, then the Lord becomes pleased. So, Advaitacharya, sitting on the bank of the Ganges, he used to offer Ganga water with tulasi to a person. And he used to roar like a lion and asking the Lord to come. Huhunkaro garjanadi ahoratra sadgunam ha krishna radhikanatha prarthana. Gangavari monohari tulasadi manjari krishna jnana sadathyana vrimavari kripabdhi karuna natho diyatam sudarshanam sitam. So this is how Advaitacharya used to call Krishna. We will sing this song in the evening. I would have sang in the morning, but we have some Hindi copy, but we don't have any English copy. Therefore, we decided to sing. This call is composed by Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in 8 verses, Ashtakam, is glorifying. Huhunkara garjanadi, he used to roar like a lion. Huhunkara garjanadi ahoratra sadgunam ha krishna radhikanatha prarthana. He used to call out to Krishna, the radhikanatha. And how he used to call him? Gangavari monohari tulashadi. With Ganga water, he used to offer tulasi, and in this way, he used to pray to Krishna to come, and incessantly, tears used to flow from his eyes. Premabari, tears of love used to flow from his eyes. So, in this way, Advaitacharya called to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he displays his Mahaprakash Leela, he showed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Shivash Angan. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that I was very peacefully lying in the causal ocean. Shayane Achinu Vai. Shayane Achinu Mui Chirod Sagore. I was lying down in the ocean of milk, in the milk ocean, Shisham. Jagai Anilo More Narar Hunkare. Nara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call Advaitacharya as Nara. Because he used to have shaved head. Therefore he used to call him. So when Nara started to roar, he started to make so much noise, I woke up. In his noise, I woke up. Adduite lagimor ei avatar. I have appeared because of Adduite. Adduite lagimor ei avatar korne mor baje ashi narar hunkar. And in my ears, Nara's roaring, Nara's loud shouting started to ring in my ear. I was very peacefully, Shayane Asinu Mui, Kirot Sagore. I was lying down. I was sleeping very nicely, very peacefully in the milk ocean. And Jagai Anilo More Nara. This Nara making all kinds of noise, making roaring, his loud chanting woke me up and brought me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's two main branch of Chaitanya Shakha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree has two main branches. One is Nityananda Prabhu's branch and the other is Advaitacharya. These are the two main branches. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the root of this tree of devotion, and two branches are Advaita's branch and Nityananda's branch. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila it has been described, Ek Mahaprabhu ar Prabhu Dui Jan, Dui Prabhu Seve Mahaprabhu Raja. There is one Mahaprabhu and there are two Prabhus. Who is Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who are the two Prabhu? Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. And these, what are these two Prabhus doing? Dui Prabhu Sebe Mahaprabhu Chara. These two Prabhus serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. 18 tattva sarvaradhya parimani chaturtha je bhakta tattva aradha kori jani. So these three tattvas are the worshipable by all. And the fourth is bhakta tattva. The fourth is the devotee tattva. Who is the devotee? Is the worshipper. The worshipped are these three. And the devotee is the worshipper, bhakta tattva, aradha kori jani, shribashadi jato koti koti bhakta gan, suddha bhakta tattva madhe tashabad. Shribashthakur are, etc., millions and millions of bhaktas, they are considered to be the pure devotees of the Lord. Gadadhar Pandit Adi Prabhu Shakti Avatar, and Gadadhar Pandit is the Shakti Tattva and Antaranga Bhakta Kori Gananda. And these Shakti Tattvas are considered to be most intimate devotees. So this is the Panchatattva. Panchatattva, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita. These other three are the worship tattva and bhakta tattva, Gadadhar, Shivashadi, Gaur Bhakta. So Shivashadi, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, they are the worshipper. And Gadadhar is the worship, Gadadhar is the Shakti. And who is very intimate, who are very intimate devotees. It is by the mercy of Advaitacharya that one can receive the service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. Although Advaitacharya was so much senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to treat him like his guru. So Advaitacharya didn't like that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always worshipping him, respecting him. So once Advaitacharya in Shantipur started to propagate, he started to propagate Mayavada. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know that, the news reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur running. And he did not ask him anything. He just started to beat him. He says, you started to preach Mayavada. So, and Gyanamarg, actually he was not exactly propagating Mayavada, but he was propagating the Gyan. Not bhakti, but Gyan. And hearing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry and he came to Shantipur and he started to beat Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya's wife, Sitadevi, became worried. He said, he's an old man, if you beat him like this, he'll die. So she started to cry. But Advaitacharya started to jump with joy in ecstasy, saying that the Lord is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always treated me with respect. And now that he is beating me, he used to treat me like a guru, but now he started to treat me like a disciple. And he came to correct me. So this has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. Acharya Gosaire Prabhu Kore Guru Bhakti Tahate Acharya Varo Hai Dukhamoti. Advaita Acharya treats Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his guru, and because of that Advaita Acharya became very sad. Bhongi Kori Gana Margo Kori Lo Vakhyan Krodha Veshe Prabhu Tare Koi Vala Vakhyan. So Advaita Acharya, in order to trick Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started to preach the Gyanamar. And hearing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely angry and he came to correct him. And then Advaita Acharya became very happy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became, he realized that he has been tricked by Advaita Acharya. So I'll just go to the end of this. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Advaita Acharya came to see him every year during the Chaturmas and attend the Ratha Yatra festival. And Advaita Acharya used to dance in front of Lord Jagannath. So although he was almost 100 years old at that time, 52 plus Mahaprabhu took sannyas at 24, so let us say about 30, 52 plus 30, he was 82 years, when he was about, that time he was about 82 years old. And he used to dance like, so in ecstasy. So then Advaita Acharya gave a letter to Jagadananda Pandit when Jagadananda Pandit came from Navadvip to Purushottam. Jagadananda Pandit went to Advaita Acharya to get his permission. Then Advaita Acharya wrote him a torja, a kind of a riddle he wrote, and asked him to give it to Chaitanya. That riddle wrote, Baul ke kohiyo loke lok hoilo baul. बाउल को कहियो हाटे नाबिकाय चाउल, बाउल के कहियो काजे नाही को आउल, बाउल के कहियो इहा कहिया छे बाउल. Nobody could understand what, even those who understand Bengali can understand. You understand Ganganan? Okay, literally means, baul means one who has in devotion to the Lord who has become man. So, you tell the madman who has become mad due to devotion to the Lord that everyone has become mad in devotion to the Lord. And you tell that madman that the rice is not selling in the marketplace. So you can see there is no link. Tell the madman that everyone has become mad in Krishna bhakti. And you tell that madman that in the marketplace there is no one is selling, no one is buying any more rice. And you tell the bowl, the madman, that the owl doesn't have anything to do in the material, anything to do here. And tell the bowl that the bowl has said that. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written the purport to that. His Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purport or translation is that Advaitacharya wrote, tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that people have become mad in Krishna consciousness. They have become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in the marketplace of the holy name, in the marketplace of love of Godhead, since everybody has bought devotion to the full, there is no one is no more, it is not selling anymore. Because everybody has taken the commodity. And you tell him that the personality absorbed and lost in Krishna consciousness, became insane in Krishna consciousness, he has no more things to do in the material nature. Therefore, he can do what he wants. Like Advaitacharya brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now the mission has been accomplished. The purpose why he brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that mission has been accomplished. So, now if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to go back, he can. And at the end he said, tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita Acharya, another madman in Krishna consciousness. So this is how Advaita Acharya brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now he is telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if he wanted, he could go back to the spiritual sky because the mission has been accomplished. Hare Krishna Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki Ho Premanandeva. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. And this evening, we will also sing Advaita Ashtakam. And we will also discuss more.